just don't give a fuck.
Presenting The Art of Not Giving a Fuck with Garrett Johnson.
I'm victimized by the blank silence of the beginning. Okay. Okay.
Action.
I had had to throw a tantrum at the beginning. Hey guys, this is Garrett here with Lance, and we're gonna deliver you another stunning and beautiful Art of NGF Victim to Adventurer podcast. And in fact, this is going to be part one of a two-part podcast. Today, we're going to cover everything there is to know about exploring the victim in your life. The victim in your life and the way that that life plays out, we call the manipulated life. So first of all, welcome, Lance.
Hey, G, what's up, man? What we got in store today?
We're going to dive into this whole victim thing. And I think the first step here, you know, what everybody really wants... I'm going to tell everybody what they really want right now. That's a great way to start. What everybody really wants is just to flow with their life, you know, to kind of know what to do from one moment to the next, to feel some degree of satisfaction from day to day, and to explore life and expand on some level. Now, whether they know that or not, there's degrees of being aware of how your desires line up with that flowing life. However, everyone almost... or let's say lots of people that I run into seem to be living a life of complaining and of manipulation, always planning everything and essentially believing themselves to be a victim of whatever circumstances they happen to be in. Now that can be from the richest all the way to the poorest. Or you could also be a homeless guy that is there because of the victim mindset, or you could be a homeless guy who's there, who's an adventurer and having an awesome time every single day. And the same goes for the most wealthy on the planet. You could be an adventurer, say someone, Richard Branson seems to have conquered most of the victim mindset, and even the competitive mindset on some level, whereas some other billionaires may be completely caught up in the victim mindset. No matter how much money, no matter how much success, it's never enough, and there's always more things to complain about, whether it's the secretary, the office, the building, the window cleaners, the maid, the wife, the mistress, the guy running the business, the marketers, the whoever, you know, the customers, the governments, the banking system. You know, you just have ever more circumstances to complain about at higher levels. So the victim's pervasive. I guess that's what we're saying to begin with.
So what function is the victim serving these people if they've seemingly amounted to a great amount of success, yet they're still kind of haunted by this?
Well, what keeps a victim being a victim, number one, is the identification with a series of problems or with a complex of problems, what they believe to be problems. So you have a series of obstacles in their lives and they think that they're not okay. And they need to overcome those obstacles. Now, let's take it a little deeper. We've mentioned this on the previous podcast, but let's mention it again and how it plays out in real life in the victim mindset, which is the fundamental assumption that there's something wrong with the world, which then becomes internalized. There's something wrong with me, and we must do something to fix that, both the world and or the self. So with that fundamental assumption unquestioned, you start to see everything in life as a limitation, as a restriction, as a reason why you can't do anything. I guess because it seems easier than taking action to be an adventurer. We can explain it from a hypnotic point of view by saying the unconscious mind simply likes homeostasis because that's what it knows how to keep you alive. So if you're used to living a life of problems and everyone else around you complains, you grow up and now you do the same thing. That's just what you're used to.
I think that's an important point, is because you're so comfortable being a victim because everyone you're surrounded by is being a victim. And that's when it'll start to reflect on you. When you go around throughout your day and say, you know, you're hanging out with your friends or your coworkers, and just pay attention to how much complaining is going on. And then really look around and come to terms with the reality of what's happening in that moment. Is there anything really going wrong at that point in time? You know, are the birds not singing outside your window?
Right.
So how much of it? Oh, go ahead.
And most often, yeah, like what you just said, are the birds not singing outside your window? I mean, is life not proceeding and seemingly okay? And you have options, even in some extreme circumstances. You know, you still have options. There's still levels of enjoyment that can take place. There's still many actions that you can take that would be enjoyable.
So it makes me think, like, the victim gets caught up in other outside ideas of happiness, and it compares itself to it, so it's never measuring up. So there's always a condition, something that needs to be changed in order for my happiness to come first.
Yeah, it's almost like that for the victim, in order to perpetuate their own storyline, have to always have cast their happiness and success and enjoyment out into in a mystical unknown future somewhere, and where it can never be attained. But what is achieved by doing that is this sense of righteousness by being able to complain, like, "Well, it's not my fault. It's the president.
Yeah.
It's not my fault. Yeah, yeah. It's the weather. It's too fucking cold to do my business today. It's not my fault. It's my girlfriend." It's not my fault. It's, I broke my leg. I need to stay at home for 6 months, whatever it is.
Yeah, and the crazy thing about it is no one cares if you decide to not be a victim anymore. In fact, you might lose all your friends and family if you stop being a victim, because they rely on you being a victim.
Exactly. That's an interesting thing, too. The family and friend unit, and not that it really exists, but it does on for the purposes of your own life, the people you relate to and spend time around. Everyone's dependent on each other, kind of maintaining the status quo, just like we said about the unconscious mind. It wants to keep everything the same. And if you look at the news, you know, everything's dramatic. Part of the idea here, again, is that people give you attention for your complaints. And often they won't give you attention. Sometimes they'll even give you negative attention for your achievements, especially if they perceive you to be superior to them, or they perceive themselves to be inferior to you. They could want to support you when you expand your life, but if you're friends with a group of junkies and you decide to quit using heroin, chances are they're not going to throw you a party and celebrate the fact that you're not using anymore. You know, they're going to either invite you to use or not be your friend anymore, or some combination of those. And I've heard those stories from people I've known. And then the news, everything around us kind of supports it. You know, the news focuses on every minute detail of victimization of everyone, you know, almost all the time, from a local all the way to a global level. And again, focusing on these myopic little situations without any context for the whole or for the nature of life itself, obviously. There's some big assumptions happening there.
So, you know, anyone, like for myself, I can pinpoint my own perceived victimizations that I experienced throughout my life, and how difficult it was to step through those through the do not enter signs. And they're completely unique to me. Like, I know from our conversations, the things that had do not enter signs for me were completely different than you in your life, you know? So and for you, mine hold no weight at all. But for me, they're like these big gloomy things that are so difficult to step through, you know? But there's,
yeah, well, that's the thing is, from the inside, the victim life, the self-victimization life, for one, you won't even see it at first. You won't even know it's there. It'll just be synonymous with you, who you think you are. Mm-hmm. I'm that guy. So let's use a personal example. Living in Eugene, Oregon, I hitchhiked out there in 99 the first time, and then was living there on and off different times, had zero money. I had worked on some cool things, but pretty much lost all ambition at some point. And just... even, you know, friends were going out to eat pizza, I would just be like upset because I didn't have enough money to share in the pizza. And then I'd be complaining and grumbling and talking about the system and the government and I don't need to use money and all this. But in my mind, how badly I wished I had $10 to go have pizza with those guys, or even more, to buy everybody pizza occasionally.
Yeah.
But I would act like a victim, and then people would, you know, feel bad for me and maybe buy me a slice of pizza. And then I'd feel like kind of good that I got my pizza, but even shittier that the way it all happened, so manipulated. And so ultimately, and it's funny because it seems like a counterintuitive thing that the victim would be constantly taking action to manipulate, but it's true. And that's the fascinating thing, is that it takes a massive effort to remain a victim.
I mean, yeah, we drove by this homeless guy, and my partner Chloe said to me, "Is like, look how much energy that guy's spending being homeless." Yeah. And he was like, "Whoa!" You know, it really opened up for me. Like, this dude, you know, he's slumped over. He's got this miserable look on his face. You know, he's waving his sign. It's like, oh man, that looks exhausting.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And that happens a lot with clients. You know, people I meet through Command Z and through the Art of Not Giving a Fuck that are doing some of the undoing work and the adventures and things, is that they come face to face at some point. All of us do, who go through the undoing experience, come face to face with how much energy and tension you're investing in your problems and in keeping your problems alive every single day. When you just disengage from them, and that's one movement, you know, and we can teach you the movement. We'll include this with the show notes, the flop, for talking about letting go. But one movement, one moment, you can just say, okay, I'm going to set aside this problem. I'm going to table this problem for now and let it, put it aside. And you've instantly created space. And in that space, something fun can emerge. Like, oh, I want to do some writing, you know? I remember I used to love writing poetry or whatever. You know, whatever pops into your mind. And that is the glorious, that's the news. That is the only news, you know? Whatever pops into your mind, that's exciting. I mean,
it makes me think of like just pushing against a wall in my apartment with all my force. And whatever that wall is, you can paint whatever it comes to your mind for you, but just stop pushing and walk away.
Yeah, exactly. It's a massive effort. But the interesting thing is that even while we sleep, what happens often is when people first start doing undoing, this is a curious thing about the victim mindset. It's maintained in the tensions in the muscles, essentially, these conflicts. The victim lives in your tensions. So as you undo some of those tensions, the victim gets loosened up, and you'll get to see on the screen of your mind the ways in which you've been victimized before. And new situations you experience in your life will reveal where you used to be a victim and suddenly you have power. We'll save that for next episode, because I actually have some great stories about, I'll tell you the victim side of it is when I lived in Eugene, I had all these teachers and I was trying to learn everything there was to learn about, you know, development and religion and human aspiration, you know, these like evolution, whatever you want to call that drive, the human drive, the will to power, whatever the fuck it is, the desire to be alive and have passion. I was trying to learn that from all these different sources. I was trying to find all the right external authorities to teach me those things. And I was allowing myself to be victimized by the weaknesses of each of those teachers' points of view. So whatever their weaknesses were, I would have those weaknesses then.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever system it was, I would adopt that as a weakness, you know. And after a while, I started to put everything together and see, oh, each of these people I really enjoy, but I'm not subservient to them just because I met them. I was a student, one was a professor, or I was a student, one was a teacher, a coach. At some point, so I was a complete victim of each of these people, and when they would interact with me, they would treat me that way automatically, naturally.
Right. That's beautiful. It doesn't matter how inspired you are by, you know, your favorite author, your favorite YouTube star, if you aren't willing to take full account for what's happening in your life right where you're sitting, you're chasing your tail a little bit, and you may even get a little lost on your own bullshit. And you could do this for the rest of your life. I know people personally who are suffering from massive delusions of grandeur.
Yeah, I mean, well, one of the interesting things that comes to mind with that also is that the victim mentality, the manipulated life, is a massive form of procrastination. You're putting off your life. You're putting off the hero's journey. So think of every movie you've ever watched. Let's do a thought experiment right here with you guys listening. Think of any movie, an adventure movie that you've ever watched. where you really like. So for me, it's Indiana Jones. You know, maybe for Lance, it's some it's a different film. But any hero you've ever liked, you know.
Big Trouble, Little China.
Yeah, exactly. So Jack, what's his name? Jack
Burton.
Jack Burton. Yeah. What would Jack Burton say about being a victim? No fucking way. So the you know, whoever these heroes are, if you've ever watched and enjoyed an adventure movie like that, that you've enjoyed it for one and one reason only, and it's because it made you feel some amount of your inner adventurer. It was tickled. It was turned on. Your inner adventurer, your inner swashbuckler, your inner pirate, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. What I think I was trying to get at is thinking you know how your adventure goes. Thinking like there's some linear path that your adventure, like, first I got to make my money, and then I'll have the relationship that I want, then I'll have the car that I want, and then I'll explore those things that I wanted to do then. But it may happen in a completely different order than your mind is anticipating. And chances are your environment is telling you right now in what order that's going to take place.
Exactly. And that's the interesting thing. You could walk out your door, walk down the street, run into a guy who was a friend of another guy you knew 5 years earlier, and he takes you into his house, gives you a cup of coffee that's the most delicious coffee you've ever had, and then teaches you how to spin this particular type of porcelain on a wheel, and you've never even considered that as something people do. And the next thing you know, you've become a famous artist doing some weird technique that you mastered that day. And how would you have ever thought, like, well, Mom, my goal list today is to walk out and have this insane, surprising experience with oil paints. You know, like, no, that's this is more of the park, you know, to explore within. But from the, let's bring it back home, from the mindset, see, we keep almost leading right into adventure. It's a natural progression. It has to explode into adventure, I mean, eventually. The victim is your fuel. But we'll get to how that process actually works in a little while. What I wanted to cover before we conclude here is just some of the qualities of the victim. Because I want all you guys listening to really, really, you know, you only have to listen through to this once, and that you'll know from now on. Anytime you're acting like a victim, you'll at least know that that's happening. And then everything you learn on this podcast, from all the interviews, from anything we mentioned, the old podcasts, the videos on YouTube, all those are meant for one purpose and one purpose only, to move you from the victim, chisel away all that bullshit, wipe off the sewage, stand up on your feet, and then start the adventure of your life. And that can happen right away. And we'll talk about how that happens. But right now, let's get through the qualities of the victim so you can never forget when you're acting this way, okay? And remember, we're not saying there's anything wrong with it. It's just a false sense of restriction. So take the seriousness out of it, and it'll make it easier for you to face these demons, okay? The qualities of the victim. Neediness. We covered that. You guys heard a lot about that on the Ben Settle interview we did. But neediness. Well, I'll say right away, it drives away business. It drives away your partner in your relationship. It drives away other people. It pretty much drives away anything that you actually would want out of a situation.
Yeah.
The thing you think you need will ultimately be driven away by the neediness.
Yeah, it's a way to feel taking personal accountability or dealing with whatever's in the way to that 100% self-acceptance, you know.
Exactly, yeah. Well, and that leads to another one is complaining. And complaining comes in all the time in different forms throughout the day. Oh, man, this food isn't warm enough or whatever. So, yeah, even on a tiny level, there's the victim. You can just take the fucking food and heat it up or enjoy it how it is. But complaining about it is ridiculous. it actually reminds me, and this is bizarre that I know this, but I had read at some point the commandments of Anton Sandor LaVey's Satanism, whatever thing, and one of them that stuck in my mind and had burned through me was never complain about a place where you are that you can voluntarily leave. Never complain about a place where you are that you can just voluntarily leave.
Yeah.
And the point there, obviously, being don't be a victim. You know, if you can leave, then leave. And if you don't want to leave, then shut your fucking mouth and stop complaining about being there.
Because
all you're doing is giving up your power. That's all you're doing. And you can't, you're not even giving up your power, just pretending to and using your effort to to not appreciate your own life. Another quality, turning down opportunities, just deliberately using effort to turn down opportunities. We've all seen people do this and been just wanted to vomit and our guts twisting when you watch. A great show that depicts this over and over is that Eastbound and Down with Danny McBride. He gets just the world's best opportunities, and then he just gets wasted and runs out and fucks it up and destroys it in such a big way that he sinks lower than he was before he had the opportunity. Right. You know, he shows some resilience in the face of his own victim nature. But so it's a fun show in that case. But turning down opportunities, definitely. Unable to enjoy anything. And then something you had brought up, Lance, was the constant comparison to other things, to trying to live up to something, and then also the conditions. The victim puts conditions on everything. I can't be happy until my mom's out of the hospital. I can't be successful until I have this amount in the bank account. I can't travel the world until I work this job for 10 more years. I can't feel good until I feed all the starving children in Africa, or whatever the fuck it is, okay? And as you solve your own problems as a victim, your own personal problems, then you can start taking on all these problems of the world. And that's where you get entire political systems, activist groups built on the victim nature.
Nice.
So, another thing we mentioned too, yeah, victims believe in the collective. The masses, you know, these other fantasies, like they want to identify with any kind of group that's being underprivileged or underserved or victimized in some way or another, you know.
And you know, I think it's important for people to realize just how strongly the people in your direct environment may resist you not being a victim. And they may prefer you develop some made-up disease and spend the rest of your life in a hospital getting medicated and fed by a tube than you becoming an adventurer. So some of those bonds there really need to be torn from.
Yeah, exactly, and that's where the art of not giving a fuck comes in, is realizing that sometimes things are going to hurt, sometimes situations and people in your life need to change, and they're going to change.
But the thing is, it's impossible to be told to give up being a victim. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. It doesn't matter what we say or what any book you've ever read says. You know, there's a buildup of disgust with the victim.
Exactly.
And, that reaches a boiling point that you cannot deny anymore, which provides the steam for your escape velocity into adventure.
Yeah, exactly. The launch, you know, the booster rockets are filled.
The booster rockets.
They need to be filled with your absolute and utter disgust and hatred for the victim life.
Yeah. And this comes naturally. Life,
exactly.
Right? It comes naturally when you start to bring awareness in the ways that G's been describing. It's just a byproduct. You're just building up the tank with the fuel, and it's going to self-combust.
Mm-hmm. And it's an excellent process and a beautiful one. And when you launch into that adventure, that never stops. This is a permanent change. Once you see the victim, you can never unsee it. So even listening to this, if you're allowing this to penetrate, if you're taking our advice from podcast number one on and never letting this become a passive exercise of listening, okay, even you could just catch yourself right now and just remember, oh, fuck, Garrett just mentioned that. I'm going to wake up right at this moment. I was just passively listening. No, this is your life. You are the fucking hero. You're the Indiana Jones. You're the adventurer. And we're going to show you exactly how to get there. And like I said, the Victim to Adventure podcast, all the interviews we do, everything we do here is going to point over and over in that direction. You're gonna be aimed in that direction perpetually. So today is a great moment in your personal history, because seeing the victim, finally confronting that and taking responsibility for your life, that's where you get that 100% self-acceptance. That's where you start to see the absolute majesty of the frontiers of your perception, you know, the frontiers of your consciousness, where you realize – you can trust in life, even though you don't know what it has in store for you. That's where the magic starts to happen. That's a beautiful process. So that's where this is all. Go ahead.
Yeah. So you had a couple good exercises that kind of relate to snuffing out your own personal victim.
Yeah, let's mention those exercises, and then we'll wrap up the victim podcast. So we'll put some videos up and links for you guys to see a longer demonstration of these exercises. But one is to, when you're feeling really down, to imitate crying, but then alternate that with laughing for 5 solid minutes. So you set a timer for 5 minutes and then start laughing. You know, really get into it, and then crying. Like, fuck. You know, you want to really bring yourself to the table and get deep with what it is you're already doing as a victim, but act it out deliberately. And when you do so, it's going to melt, and you'll feel it melting in your brain. And you can trust in that process. When you do these types of exercises, as the tension melts away, the victim has nothing to hold on to. The only place it's holding on to you is in the tensions in your muscles, physically gripping. So as you do these exercises, the victim loses hold. But you have to also let go of it. Another one is to walk around and think of all the catastrophes you can possibly imagine, bring them into your mind, into your body, and pace around the room saying, "Oh my God, what's going to happen to me? What the fuck is going to happen to me? What's going to happen if I don't get paid, or if they lose the insurance and the fucking car?" You know, just whatever those things are, go through them and act them out, pace around the room. And then alternate that with excitement. Yes, fucking A, woo! You know, just really pump yourself up. In doing so, you're going to drain the seriousness out of the victim thing. You're going to see how you're doing it. The victim thing is just a behavior. It's just an act, just a role you've been taught to play. So just as if I handed you a script today and you learned those lines and you started acting them for the next 2 weeks and then you were in a play, when that play's over, you set the script down and that character's done. You're not bound by it. You're not imprisoned by it. And the coolest part about all this is that's what's the same thing with the victim role. It's just a script you've been playing.
Yeah, that's wild. You know, you are so often the victim mistakes itself for its environment and the people who happen to be in its environment, in these pedestals it puts the people on, you know, parents and politicians and teachers and such. And it's limited by its own projections on these people. You know, and not everyone had Archie Manning as their dad. You know, because he has two quarterback sons, right? Just following in old Pop's footsteps, you know?
Right.
So you don't have to be defined by the people who step before you.
Right. Well, and you never know. You may talk to one of those quarterbacks and find out he's a victim of dad's pressure. You know, you never know on that. Like, you know, Tiger Woods. Exactly. Look at Tiger Woods or Michael Jackson, you know.
There is a beautiful story. The Marinovich. You know that story? His dad started to groom him to be a NFL quarterback since he was 1 year old.
Oh, man.
And lo and behold, he became a crack addict and blew the whole thing up when he was in college, made it to the NFL, got the boot for a while. It's a beautiful story. It has the full scope. And so he abandons his football career, which he'd been bred to be like a monster on the field.
Mm-hmm.
But it's self-destructed. And then he went out and became an artist, and he's actually quite good.
Oh, that is amazing. That's beautiful. Yeah, see, that's the point is you just transcend something. Just transcend anything, for God's sake. It doesn't matter what. And from there, you can just launch the adventurer. Well, I wanted to mention in closing two interesting things about the victim, and then next time we're going to show you exactly how to step into the adventurer, and we're going to explore what that life is like with personal examples and lots of highlights and inspiration and support for you to do the same. One thing that keeps coming to mind, obviously, is that Eminem song, Beautiful Pain, specifically the part about how he's talking about converting your past and all the pain and all the hurt and all the embarrassment and discomfort. All that gets converted to gasoline that you dump on your past and ignite. And that you're standing there in the flames so terrified that you're about to be devoured. And at that moment, you look down and realize you're fireproof. And that everything that burned away was your prison.
Boom.
So that's we'll leave you guys there. So take some time between now and next podcast and just write out or explore or record yourself talking about your own victim experiences. And if you guys want to leave those as comments on the podcast site, feel free to do that. There'll be a link there in the show notes. And then also, you guys, please do leave a review. Love mail, hate mail, and ugly mail in between. Just leave an honest review there for us on iTunes. And be in touch with anybody you guys want to hear us interview. And we'll show you how to be an adventurer.
And a note, G, I don't trust anything that only gets good reviews. So I look forward to it. When I go to IMDb, I like to look for a good 7.7.
Exactly, yeah. So if you guys aren't going to start leaving us any bad reviews, we're going to have to start digging into some more aggressive topics, let's say. But don't worry, we'll get there. All right, cool. Well, thanks, Lance. We'll talk to you next time when we launch into the life of the adventure. I'm excited.
All right, sounds good. Till then.
Enjoy.
Thank you for listening to the Art of Not Giving a Fuck podcast. For more info, visit artofnotgivingafuck.com or radicalundoing.com.